Century Fox presents Shirley Temple in The Little Princess, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada, with Richard Green, Anita Louise, and Ian Hunter, Cesar Romero, Arthur Treacher, Mary Nash, Sybil Jason, Miles Mander, Marcia May Jones. Directed by Walter Lang. Associate producer, Jean Markey. Screenplay by Ethel Hill and Walter Ferris, based on the novel by Frances Hodgson Burnett. The Fantasy. Words and music by Walter Bullock, Samuel Pokras. Ballet staged by Ernest Belcher. Settings by Richard Day. Photographed in Technicolor. Photography by Arthur Miller, William Skull. Technicolor color director, Natalie Kalmus. Dances staged by Nicholas Castle, Geneva Sawyer. Art direction, Bernard Hertzbrunn, Hans Peters. Set decorations, Thomas Little. Sound, E. Clayton Ward, Roger Heeman. Musical direction, Louis Silvers. England, 1899. London's Tower Bridge stands tall and proud over the River Thames. The Union Jack flaps in the wind atop a stone castle turret. Further down the castle wall, two smaller turrets flank an entranceway. A single palace guard, wearing an overcoat and tall bearskin hat, marches back and forth. A formal portrait of Queen Victoria hangs on a wall in an ornate gold frame. Row after row of soldiers in kilts march along the street. A newspaper poster reads, "Boers threaten war. Regiment departs for the Transvaal." Hundreds of cheering spectators line the street, waving British flags. The crowds block the horse and carriage traffic. An officer and a beautifully dressed little girl holding a doll watch from their carriage.
Why are they sending so many soldiers, Daddy, if it's only going to be a little war?
Make those stubborn Boers take us seriously this time, my darling. When they realize Her Majesty intends to put a stop to their nonsense, they'll quiet down.
They'd better. Anyhow, when you get there, you'll stop them, won't you, Daddy?
I'll do my best, dear.
The girl slides closer to her father. As the last of the soldiers march down the street, the crowds part, allowing the carriages to cross. A bobby holds back pedestrians for the carriage of the officer and the little girl.
I'm gonna miss you so.
I'll be back and we'll be together again before you can say knife.
I can say knife a good many times in a year.
But at the school you'll have charming little girls to play with, books to read, a pony to ride, and after all there'll be Emily, you know.
Yes, there will be Emily. And she does look as though she'd be an understanding friend, don't you think, Daddy?
With that intellectual forehead, I'm sure of it.
She squeezes her doll and takes her father's arm. Trailing a motorized buggy, the carriage approaches its destination. A brass plaque on a stone building reads, "Miss Minchin's Seminary." They step from the carriage.
It's not a very cheerful-looking school, is it, Daddy?
I'm afraid nothing had seemed very cheerful to us at the moment.
Well, maybe it'll be better on the inside.
Of course it will.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Of course you're sorry. We're all sorry. Get him out.
A pony is dragged from the building.
Of delivering a thing like this at the front door.
Oh, look, Daddy, my pony.
Your employer will answer for this. Now take him away.
Yes, far away.
Oh, no, Daddy.
Oh, I say.
They approach the tall man and the stern-faced woman.
You are Miss Minchin?
I am.
I'm Captain Crewe. I'm afraid I've caused you no end of inconvenience.
You most certainly have, Captain Crewe.
May I step inside and explain?
Come in.
Wait here with the pony.
Right out, Governor.
The woman leads the others inside.
I'm terribly sorry. I had no intention of having the pony delivered inside your house.
There are a number of things beside the pony. Parcels have been arriving here collect for your daughter for hours. Follow me, please.
Captain Crewe, his little girl, and the tall man follow Miss Minchin to her office. A little servant girl cleaning the fireplace watches the group.
Apparently you are not aware, Captain Crewe, that I conduct one of the most dignified and exclusive schools in London.
Oh, yes, yes, so I understood. That's precisely the reason why I brought my daughter to you.
I would not have gathered that from your actions.
Really, now, I'm not entirely to blame. You see, Sarah and I have only just arrived from India. Sarah's lived there practically all her life. We'd no more than got here when I learnt that my regiment was to leave at once for South Africa, so we had to act hurriedly.
But I wrote you, explaining that I do not take young ladies without an interview and the most impeccable references. I wrote you also that at the moment I had no vacant rooms.
Well, in that case, Daddy, we might as well move on.
This is a bit awkward. You see, your letter never reached me, and I'm afraid it never occurred to me that any school wouldn't welcome my little Sarah.
Obviously.
If it's a question of my social standing, my father was Sir George Crewe. You've heard of him, perhaps.
Oh, naturally.
And the best financial references I could give you would be the directors of the South African Holding Syndicate. I'm the principal stockholder in the syndicate.
The tall man grins excitedly.
My brother, Captain Crewe, our professor of elocution and dramatics.
How do you do?
Charmed, I'm sure. I say, isn't the Eclipse Diamond Mines one of your holdings?
One of the most important, of course.
Of course, of course.
I'm sorry to appear casual, Miss Minchin, but the situation is quite distressing. I sail an hour from the East India docks.
I expect you just have to take me to Africa with you, Daddy.
Oh, no. And what would a little girl like you do in Africa? Forgive me, Captain Crewe, I fear I've been overzealous. The reputation of my school, you know, one has to be so cautious. But after this interview, I can see at a glance. Such a dear little child. It would be a pleasure to have her with us.
Does that mean I've got to stay?
Yes, dear. You're to have that privilege. You and your little pony.
What a dear little pony.
This is made out to the school. Will it be enough for the moment?
Oh, quite.
I should say it would. Why, it's stupendous.
I beg your pardon, but haven't I seen you somewhere before?
It's quite possible, my dear Captain.
Your face is most familiar. Were you ever on the stage? I seem to associate you with one of the old music halls.
Music halls? My brother on the stage. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous indeed. You're quite right.
And now, shall we look at little Sarah's rooms?
As Miss Minchin, Captain Crewe and Sarah walk from the office into the hall, uniformed schoolgirls file down the stairs.
Just a moment, Miss Rose. This is Miss Rose, one of my most capable teachers. Captain Crewe has done us the honor of placing his little daughter, Sarah, with us.
How do you do, Miss Rose?
How do you do, Captain Crewe? We shall do everything we can to make your little girl happy.
I'm sure you will.
Children, we have a new pupil, Sarah Crewe. Say, how do you do to her?
How do you do?
Sarah curtsies.
I'm very well, thank you.
Lavinia, Jessie, that will do. You may proceed, Miss Rose.
Children?
Miss Rose escorts the children. Two younger girls walk in front of two older students, Lavinia and Jessie.
She's just like a little princess, isn't she?
That's what she is, a princess. And I expect now some people around here won't think they're so smart.
Oh, won't they? Wait and see. Princess indeed.
Fortunately, the rooms have just been papered, and the fireplace has an excellent draft.
But I thought you didn't have any rooms.
But I didn't know then what a dear little girl was coming.
But why does that make more rooms, Daddy?
Miss Minchin shows the Crewes into a large, well-furnished suite.
Lady Bentley's little daughter's only recently vacated the rooms. Our best suite, of course.
Do you think you could brighten it up a bit? I'd like it made as gay as possible. I brought a few things from India, but perhaps you could buy whatever else is necessary.
With pleasure, Captain Crewe.
I'd like Sarah to ride every afternoon, if the weather's all right.
Of course. Fortunately, we have a splendid riding master.
I expect you think I'm completely spoiling the child. And no doubt you're right. But actually, it's good for her. She's much too inclined to bury her little nose in a book and keep it there until someone lures her out of it. You see, Miss Minchin, Sarah has no mother, and we've never been separated for more than a few days.
How touching.
This is going to be very hard for her.
Have no fear, Captain Crewe. I'm a mother to all my little girls. And now, I'll leave you to your farewells.
Miss Minchin leaves. Captain Crewe hesitates, then approaches his little girl.
How much longer have we got, Daddy?
He kisses her on the head.
Only a few minutes, darling.
He tosses his hat on a love seat and sits down. Sarah rests on his lap and strokes his face.
You're learning me by heart, little Sarah.
No, Daddy. I know you by heart. You're inside my heart.
He holds her.
We're going to be brave, aren't we?
Sarah nods.
I tell you what. Let's pretend we're back in India. And I'm going away with the troop for a few days. Shall we?
She nods again.
We've fought this kind of battle before, haven't we? And you never cried once when I went away.
He lifts her chin.
Remember?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, this is going to be our hardest battle. But we'll be good soldiers, won't we?
Yes, Daddy.
The captain hugs his daughter.
Shall we say goodbye, like we used to at home?
Yes, Daddy.
All right, then. Chin up. Go to the window and look out.
Sarah walks to the window, her father standing tall behind her. She turns to face him.
Oh, say it as we used to. My daddy has to go away, but he'll return most any day. Any moment I may see my daddy coming back to me.
Sarah breathes deeply and turns to look out the window.
My daddy has to go away, but he'll return most any day. Any.
She runs to hug him.
I can't do it this time. I can't do it.
Sarah looks into her father's eyes.
You're crying too.
Afraid we're not quite such good soldiers as we thought.
Oh, yes, we are.
She kisses his cheek.
I can do it now.
Sarah marches to the window.
My daddy has to go away. But he'll return most any day. Any moment I may see my daddy coming back to me.
Sarah spins and looks around the room. Turning back to the window, she weeps. Later, Sarah tries to do up her boots with a button hook. Her doll, Emily, sits nearby.
I will do it. I will. I'll pretend this is part of a war. You'll be the enemy, and you'll be my trusty lance. Now, ready, aim, fire!
Struggling with the buttons.
Oh. Ouch!
She drops the button hook.
I guess we'll have to call in reserves.
Sarah wanders away from Emily, shaking her head. She opens her bedroom window. In a window across the street, a tall, thin Indian man feeds a large parrot.
So long. Good morning. Hi.
Good morning. Mrs. Saab speaks Hindustani.
I've lived in India all my life. You are lad. Bull absurd high.
Ah, sab dunya se acha hai. Mrs. Saab is going to live in England now?
Only until my father gets through making the Boers behave.
This Saab is then a soldier?
Yes, my father's a captain. Captain Crewe. I'm Sarah. What is your name?
I am Ram Das, servant to the Honorable Lord Wickham and to her ladyship Rani.
Ram Das! Ram Das!
Yes, sir.
Why the deuce are you dawdling here? Finish with that burden. Get on with your work.
Good morning.
Lord Wickham looks Sarah up and down.
How do you do?
The old man hobbles off.
I'll be here at the window most every morning in case you want to talk about India.
Miss Rose comes in.
Morning, Sarah.
Oh, good morning.
Ready for breakfast, dear?
Well, I'm trying to be, but I don't seem to be very good at these buttons. My thumb gets lost in the hole.
Yeah, let me help you. Buttons are a bother, aren't they?
I never had a button things before, but I'll learn.
I'm sure you will. Here, put your shoe up. Come in.
The little servant girl enters, carrying an armload of boots.
Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. Has the young lady any boots to put on?
Well, only the pair I wore yesterday. I'll get them. I'll get them, miss.
Becky trips and drops the boots.
Oh, I beg your pardon, miss.
Are you hurt?
No, miss. You mustn't be up on me, miss.
Just hold out your arms and I'll pile them on.
Oh, no, miss. If Miss Minton was to see. You think you can hold two more? Yes, miss. There. There you are. Are you all right?
Becky nods.
you take care of all Will's?
Yes, miss.
And she does them beautifully.
Ah, thanks, you, miss. Thank you for doing my shoes.
Becky bumps the door closed.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's all right.
Sarah reopens the door for her.
Goodbye, Becky.
Goodbye.
Bye. Well, perhaps this isn't going to be such a bad school after all with you and Becky here.
Oh, we'll have to hurry, dear. Miss Minchin doesn't like anyone to be late.
Tell me, Miss Rose, do you think Miss Minchin could be as cross as she looks? What will I have to do today?
Well, after breakfast, you'll have a class in arithmetic.
Arithmetic?
Then English, then French, then one in elocution and deportment, history and geography.
Phew! I'm going to be a busy person, aren't I? When do I get to ride my pony?
Later this afternoon, about 4 o'clock.
Oh.
In the dining hall.
Children, our new pupil, Sarah Crewe, will be down presently. As you've seen, Captain Crewe is a very delightful man, and their family is most distinguished. I shall expect you to treat her accordingly. Now you may take your places.
Miss Rose and Sarah walk in.
Good morning. Ah, good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
I'm so happy you feel like joining us this morning. Did you sleep well?
No, I didn't, thank you.
Come, dear. Lavinia, you and Jessie will move down one place. Sarah will be seated at my right after this.
Why, Miss Minchin, this has always been my place.
Lavinia?
Lavinia huffs, but changes seats. They all bow their heads.
For this food and all the bountiful gifts bestowed upon us, we are duly grateful and do now give thanks.
The maids start serving balls to everyone, except Miss Minchin, who gets boiled eggs. Sarah notices and salts her empty plate.
Why are you putting salt on your plate, dear?
Just in case you should ask me to have one of your eggs.
Miss Minchin glares at Bertie. In a courtyard, a stable hand pets Sarah's pony as a dashing young man approaches.
Mr. Jeffrey, will I saddle the pony for the wee lassie?
I think not, Sandy. We'd best use the mare for her first few lessons.
Very good, sir. Come on, lad.
The stable hand leads the pony away.
Hello there!
Jeffrey runs to Rose and Sarah.
Hello, Jeffrey.
What luck. The old girl allowed you to come out.
Jeffrey and Rose hold hands.
Sarah, this is Mr. Jeffrey Hamilton. Little Miss Crewe's our new pupil.
How do you do?
How do you do? I believe I'm to teach you to ride.
Teach me?
And that means 2 bob a day extra for me.
Oh. Is 2 bob a great deal of money?
Values are comparative. In my present state, it's a fortune.
Well, in that case, I guess I better be taught. Is my pony ready?
I think we'd best start you out on something a little tamer, huh?
Oh, then hadn't I better explain things to my pony? He might feel hurt.
Right you are. Ponies are very sensitive creatures. Explain the whole thing to him thoroughly. He's right there by the arch.
It may take me some time.
That's quite all right. We'll wait here in the tack room.
All right.
Sarah leaves the two adults and finds her pony resting in a stable.
Oh, General?
She crouches to pet him.
Are you glad to see me? Well, Mr. Jeffrey's going to give me something tamer than you. I'm afraid it isn't going to be much of a ride.
Inside.
Rose, something's wrong. What is it?
Miss Minchin's taken away my Thursday afternoons.
But why?
We must have been seen together.
Well, does that mean that I can never see you alone again?
Of course not, darling. No matter what Miss Minchin says, we'll find a way.
I can't understand the woman. What is she afraid of? Why shouldn't we see one another?
Gossip, I suppose. She only lives for that school and her ideas of propriety and snobbishness.
Fiddlesticks. She's afraid of losing an excellent teacher whom she gets for nothing. I won't stand for it. I'll have a talk with her myself.
Oh, no, darling, you mustn't do that. She'd only discharge us both.
She may not have the chance if things continue to pop in South Africa.
You mean you might go?
Wouldn't you want me to, if they called for volunteers?
Of course, darling. You'd have to. Oh, Jeffrey.
They embrace.
There's nothing to worry about now, dear. This poor rumpus will never get that serious.
Jeffrey holds Rose and kisses her fervently. Sarah steps into the doorway and sees them. Then she slips back to the stable.
I expect I'll have to make my visit a little longer.
The school's mail is dropped through the door slot. Bertie flips through the letters while Becky dusts a chair nearby.
Oh, Mr. Bertie, is there one this morning for the little princess?
We shall see, my child, we shall see.
If she don't hear from her father ever so often, her eyes get that sad, it hurts me to look on him.
Have no fear, little one. There's a letter for her this time.
I'm that glad, sir.
Bertie walks to the staircase, where a maid is dusting the handrail. He stops and pinches her cheek. Grinning, he continues up the stairs. Looking at Sarah's letter, Bertie dances as he walks. Outside Sarah's room, Bertie fixes his tie in a mirror and joyfully tap dances. Sarah copies Bertie's dance in her doorway. Bertie taps toward her and they dance together.
Lost a week, a dunner and he came at all.
Nice old a geezer with a lost cross.
Sees my a missus takes his topper off.
In a very gentle money, why?
Oh, what a cheer
all the night is cried. Oh, you're gonna meet Bill, everyone's street Bill. Love,
Bertie holds up Sarah's letter and teases her before letting her take it. Sarah blows Bertie a kiss as he dances back down the stairs. Sarah goes into her room and opens the letter while Rose folds her clothes.
A letter?
It's from my daddy.
Oh, how nice.
But it isn't. It's very bad news.
Really? What's the matter, dear?
He says the boys aren't behaving quite as he expected and he may not get here in time for my birthday.
But that's months off. So many things may happen before then. He may still come, you know.
Sarah reads aloud.
I am writing Miss Minchin to give you a birthday party such as I should give you if I were there. You are to go on a regular spree. Buy anything and everything your heart desires. Now, last and most important of all, my darling, I want you to pause at exactly 2 o'clock on your birthday. Close your eyes and send me a kiss, for my eyes also will be closed, and I will be giving you a kiss, too. Isn't he the most wonderful man in all the world?
Rose kisses Sarah's forehead.
With one exception.
Well, Mr. Jeffrey is very nice. What's that?
They run out onto the balcony. Hundreds of soldiers march down the street in a lively parade.
Who are they, Miss Rose?
They're the volunteers.
Flag-waving supporters line the street.
Are they going to South Africa too?
Yes, dear. They're going to the relief of our poor soldiers at Mafeking.
Is something the matter with our soldiers at Mafeking?
The Boers have them all cut off. And we've been unable to break through their lines to get help to them.
Oh.
They're sick and hungry, dear, and desperate. They're holding out like true British soldiers.
Suddenly, Sarah runs back into her room. She picks up the letter. The postmark reads, Mafeking besieged.
Miss Rose... My daddy's at Mafeking.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, Miss Rose.
Oh, shh.
Rose hugs Sarah as she weeps.
Darling, you mustn't cry. I'm sure you'll be all right.
A maid opens the front door.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jeffrey.
Good afternoon, Martha. Is Miss Sarah ready for her ride?
Yes, sir. She'll be down presently.
Thanks. Oh. Are we all ready?
Rose escorts Sarah down the stairs.
Hello, Jeffrey.
The two most beautiful ladies in the world. Why, you're not in your riding things.
Oh, I can't go today. Ermengarde needs extra tutoring.
Oh, will it take all afternoon?
I'm afraid so. I have to stay with her till she can spell Constantinople.
Good heavens, that may take months.
You leave that to me.
He kisses her hand before she leaves.
Shall we go? Have you been crying?
Sarah shakes her head.
But you have. There are still tears in your eyes.
It's just this London fog.
Oh, well, if that's all, let's be off, shall we?
They walk out onto the front steps.
Mr. Jeffrey, would you mind very much if we didn't ride today?
Not at all, dear. But may I ask why not?
I'd like to talk to you.
All right.
They sit down on the steps.
It's about Martha King. Are the soldiers really starving and sick and cut off from everything? You see, my father's there, and I've got to know.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that. Our men aren't having an easy time of it, it's true. But they're holding out. And we're sending fresh troops every day, you know. Why, they'll be relieving Mafeking in no time at all now.
It's getting harder every day to pretend my father's safe.
Don't you worry. See here, I'll let you in on a little secret. I enlisted today, and while I don't want Miss Rose to know quite yet, I'll be going over there shortly myself.
To Mafeking? And perhaps you can help my father.
Rather. We'll get him out.
What the blazes are you doing here?
Lord Wickham approaches.
Hello.
Answer me, you impudent puppy. What are you doing here?
Don't be frightened, Sarah. It's only my grandfather.
Don't you believe him, young woman. I disowned him the day he was born.
And we're really very fond of each other.
Of course we are. What? We're nothing of the kind.
As a favor to me, will you please stop shouting at my best-paying pupil?
Pupil? Paying? What are you talking about?
I am master of the horse in this exclusive seminary for young ladies.
You take advantage of my absence to become a riding master? And next door to my own house? Where's your family pride, boy?
Well, Sarah so slips over to Ram Dass.
Pride is a pretty thin diet.
Oh, blackmail, eh? You think I'll buy you off?
I hadn't thought of that, but it's not a bad idea.
Well, I'll see you.
Ram Dass covers Sarah's ears.
Wait till I see the woman who runs this school. I'll put a spoke in your wheel.
Do. She'd love to know my grandfather is Lord Wickham. She'll probably raise my salary.
They have finished, Mrs. Sarah. Lord Wickham is coming.
Then I'm going.
Impudent young pup. Just like his father. Riding master.
Lord Wickham storms off with Ram Dass following.
Maybe you're fond of him, but I don't think he's very fond of you.
Oh, he's harmless. His bark's worse than his bite.
I should hope so.
They sit down again.
Why is he so mad at you?
Oh, he isn't really. He was angry with my father. I was mixed up in their quarrel. What he really wants is to have me come begging to him for help. He'd be eating out of my hand if I would.
I don't think I'd care to have him eating out of my hand.
How would you like to have me eating out of your hand?
You? Oh, that would be different.
Well, I shall, if you'll do me a favor. A very important one.
Oh, could I?
I've got an idea that you're the only one in the world who could. I want you to get Miss Rose to go shopping with you next Wednesday.
Shopping?
Well, shopping's as good an excuse as any for Miss Minchin. Now listen.
Geoffrey whispers in Sarah's ear.
Really? To Miss Rose? And she said she would? Oh, that's wonderful. No, not a soul. Not even Emily.
Good girl. Now I've got to go. I must do some preliminary shopping.
You don't have to tell me what for. Something gold and shiny.
Right you are.
Soon after, she approaches Miss Minchin's office.
Come in.
Sarah walks in. Miss Minchin sits at her desk and continues to work.
What do you want? I'm very busy.
Miss Minchin, I wanted to ask you something.
Oh, it's you. What do you want, dear?
I'm going to ask you a big favor.
Yes?
Mr. Jeffrey's leaving today for the war. He's been so very nice to me. I thought I ought to fill my social obligations by doing something for him. That's what you teach us, isn't it? When someone shows you a kindness, you show them one in return?
Well, doing something for Mr. Jeffrey scarcely comes under the rules of social obligations. But what is it you want to do for him?
May I have him for tea?
Here, at the school.
Oh, couldn't I please, since he's going away to war?
Well, I suppose it would be permissible, since he was one of the teachers. You need not mention it to the other young ladies, however.
No, Miss Minchin. Thank you, Miss Minchin.
Sarah curtsies.
Oh, thank you, Miss Minchin.
And rushes out the door. Later, outside her bedroom, Sarah marches back and forth like a soldier on guard duty. Inside, Geoffrey and Rose embrace on the sofa.
We must eat something. After all the trouble little Sarah's gone to.
I think she'll understand.
Geoffrey holds her hand.
You've forgotten your ring.
No, I haven't.
She pulls it from a pocket.
See? I'm always afraid I'll forget and wear it in front of Miss Minchin. I did yesterday, and fortunately for us, she didn't see it.
How I'd love to tell the old girl.
Can't do that yet, darling.
I know. You sorry you married me?
As though you didn't know.
I only wanted you to tell me again. Oh, my darling. I'll be living this last week over every moment that I'm away from you.
And we won't be separated, will we? Because I'll be living it over too.
Geoffrey kisses her. In the hallway, as Sarah continues her marching, Miss Minchin comes up the stairs.
I thought you were having Mr. Hamilton to tea.
I am. I mean, I was, but...
Who's in that room?
Oh, please don't go in there, Miss Minchin.
Miss Minchin pushes into the room, and Geoffrey and Rose stand.
Miss Minchin, Miss Rose and I...
We were saying goodbye, Miss Minchin.
How dare you risk the reputation of my school in this manner?
Nothing's happened that damages your precious school's reputation. As a matter of fact, Miss Rose and I...
Geoffrey, for my sake.
Oh, please, Miss Minchin. It was all my fault.
Silence. Since you are here merely to say goodbye, please do so. Now.
Geoffrey takes Rose's arms and leans toward her, but stops when she shakes her head. They gaze into each other's eyes.
Bye, Geoffrey.
Geoffrey grins, then nods his head and walks away. Miss Minchin refuses to look at him. Sarah shakes his hand.
Bye, Mr. Geoffrey.
Bye, dear.
Geoffrey leaves.
Sarah, I shall expect an explanation of this.
Yes, Miss Minchin. As soon as I can think of one.
Miss Minchin looks sternly at Rose, then walks away. A large group of people gathers around a South Africa casualty list posted on a wall.
They've been cornered like rats for 7 months.
I say send more troops to Mafeking if it takes every man in England.
I'm with you.
No! No! Oh, my boy! My boy!
A woman is led away. One night, Sarah prays.
I know soldiers are supposed to stand a lot. My daddy is a good soldier. But they've waited so long for help. Please do something about Mafeking right away. But they'll all be lost. My daddy won't come back. Oh.
Hearing the commotion outside, she pauses. She runs onto the balcony in her nightgown.
Mafeking is relieved!
People pour onto the street in celebration.
Mafeking is relieved! Mafeking is relieved!
Sarah looks to the heavens.
Oh, thank you for being so quick about it this time.
People dance and cheer in the streets.
Get up! Get up! Mafeking is relieved! Wake up, everybody! Mafeking is relieved!
Bertie runs down the stairs.
Oh, Mr. Bertie, did you hear? Mafeking is relieved!
Yes, darling, isn't it great news?
Sarah! Oh, Miss Rose, they're saved! My daddy and Mr. Jeffrey are saved!
What is it? What's the matter?
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong! Nothing, nothing, nothing! Mafeking is relieved!
Cherry!
Oh, Miss Minchin, isn't it wonderful? Do you hear the cherry?
Hooray!
The party continues in the street. Sarah leads her teachers and classmates outside to join the celebration. Miss Minchin, Rose and Bertie dance with their students. Sarah finds Becky in the crowd.
Oh, Becky, Becky, Becky!
Oh, no, I'm glad for you, miss.
He's safe, Becky. My daddy is safe.
Becky and Sarah hold hands and jump for joy. Sarah runs into the crowd, smiling and cheering with glee. The party continues the next day with a cake that reads, Happy Birthday, Sarah, in pink icing.
Children! Attention, please.
All the girls gather in their party dresses.
It is a happy circumstance that Sarah's birthday should fall on a day when we're celebrating a glorious victory for Her Majesty's Army. And now, Sarah, will you explain to the children your wishes about your birthday?
I'm very happy to have you here. And I thought I would like to give presents today, not just receive them, because I wanted to show how grateful I am that my father has been rescued.
Quiet, children, quiet.
Can we do the presents now?
Yes, but your gifts first, Sarah.
Everyone hurries to the gift table. Miss Minchin gives Sarah a sewing basket.
This is from me.
Oh, thank you, Miss Minchin. Now all I need is to know how to sew.
And this from the entire school. Here are pictures of your native India.
Oh, thank you ever and ever so much. I shouldn't have to pretend nearly so hard when I want to make believe I'm there.
And now, do you want the others to have their presents?
Yes, if you please. They're all over here. And your names are all on them. Here you are, Miss Rose.
Oh, how nice.
And would you help with the other presents?
Of course, dear.
And this is for you, Miss Minchin.
Oh, how thoughtful, Sarah.
And,
Leaving the girls to open their gifts, Sarah runs off with Bertie. Becky watches from behind a corner. Bertie gives Sarah a framed photo.
From one old trooper to another. Me in younger and happier days. When I was better known as Bubbling Bertie.
Oh, thank you. We'd better keep this present a secret.
Mum's the word.
I should say it is. Here, this is from me.
Thank you.
Hope you like it.
Why, it's just what I wanted.
Mum's the word, you know.
Rather.
Oh, miss.
Bertie chomps on his new pipe as Sarah runs to Becky.
Here's my present, miss. It ain't so very good.
Becky gives Sarah a handmade pincushion that says, Many Happy Returns.
Oh, thank you, Becky. It ain't nothing but flannelness, and the flannel ain't so very new.
Why, you dear Becky, you made it all yourself.
Yes, miss. I made it at nights. I knew you could pretend it was setting with diamond pins stuck in.
It's beautiful, Becky. I shall love it.
Oh, will you, miss? The flannel ain't so very new.
And this isn't so very new either. It's my present to you.
A present for me, miss?
Yes, Becky, with my love.
Oh, what is it, miss?
It's a scarab from Egypt. My daddy gave it to me because it brings good luck. I'd rather you had it than anyone else I know.
Oh, Lord, miss. I think I'm going to find.
Oh, no, Becky, not now. I have lots more presents for you, too, in my room.
I don't know what to say, miss.
You're sweet, Becky.
Yes, yes, very nice.
Oh, look at mine, Miss Minchin.
Beg pardon, miss.
Yes?
Mr. Barrow of Barrow and Skipworth is here to see you.
Today? I didn't send for him.
He seems very much upset about something. He's waiting in your office.
Very well, I'll go at once.
Miss Rose?
The scarf is beautiful.
Miss Rose, will you be sure to tell me when it's almost 2 o'clock?
Of course, dear.
You know, I have a very special appointment with my daddy. He's going to be thinking of me at exactly 2.
I'll watch the time.
Thank you, Miss Rose.
Oh, Sarah, thank you for the handkerchiefs. They're lovely.
Don't you think it's time to cut the cake?
Oh, yes, the cake.
In the office.
Pray be seated, Mr. Barrow.
How much did you advance for this party? Quite a sum, I suspect.
What does it matter? Captain Crewe is a very wealthy man. His check will be here shortly.
No, Miss Minchin. There'll be no check.
What? What do you mean by that?
The late Captain Crewe.
The late Captain Crewe?
Captain Crewe is dead. He was so reported in the list this morning. Moreover, he died a bankrupt.
Bankrupt? But his property, his mines...
His property and his mines were confiscated by the enemy.
You mean to tell me that that child is penniless? That she's left on my hands with nothing?
She certainly left penniless, and she's certainly left on your hands. She hasn't a relative in the world that we know of.
But her father's account is overdrawn. I was expecting a check in advance, the money for this party.
So I understand.
But this is monstrous.
Back at the party.
Now you have to make a wish and blow out all the candles with one breath.
My wish is that my father will come back very soon.
Now take a big breath.
She blows out all of the candles, but one.
I haven't got very good lungs, have I?
In the office.
I'll turn her out in the streets.
You think that wise, Miss Minchin? The reputation of your school, you know.
My school?
Well, the report might get about. And it might not sound well to the parents of some of your other pupils.
Yes, that is so.
Of course. The child could be made to serve in your employ until her indebtedness is worked out.
But that would take years.
Quite so. But at least it's better than nothing.
Hurry, children. Your ice cream's melting.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, it's almost 2 o'clock, darling.
Thank you, Miss Rose.
Sarah looks about and leaves her party. She finds an empty room and closes the door behind her. Sarah unfolds her father's letter and holds it to her.
Oh, Daddy, I am thinking of you. And I know that wherever you are, you're thinking of me, too.
Rose walks in.
Oh, Miss Rose, I felt him with me. I really did.
Miss Minchin wants you, dear.
Oh, all right.
Sarah and Rose go back to the party.
Children, you will leave your gifts here.
Why? Where are they going? Why can't they take the presents with them?
Because they are not yours to give.
But I don't understand.
You will later. Go to your room now.
But Miss Minchin...
Sarah, go to your room.
Sarah leaves, confused.
All of you.
The girls go upstairs, leaving Miss Minchin with Rose and Bertie.
Now will you tell me what it's all about?
What has happened, Miss Minchin?
Whatever it is, you might have let her off a bit easier.
Silence. Captain Crewe is dead. His name appeared on the list today. He's left the child a pauper.
Poor Miss Minchin.
You had better tell her.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
You will do as you are told.
Rose looks down and reluctantly withdraws. Alone in her suite, Sarah mopes. Rose comes in.
Oh, Miss Rose, what's wrong? Why did Miss Minchin stop the party?
Sarah, I want to talk to you in a minute, dear.
Rose sits down, then hugs the little girl.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Miss Rose, what is it?
Sarah, you're a soldier's daughter. And you know that that means being brave and courageous, don't you? No matter what happens.
Oh, Miss Rose, is it something awful?
Your father.
But my father's all right. Mafeking is relieved. You heard them say so.
Help didn't get there soon enough, dear. For him. His name appeared on the list this morning.
You mean with the wound?
No, dear.
My daddy is...
Rose nods her head.
Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry.
It can't be. It isn't true. I won't believe it. He isn't dead. He isn't.
Sarah breaks down in Rose's arms. Soon after, Miss Minchin comes in the room, a black dress draped over her arm.
Have you?
Yes.
You may go.
Rose stares at Miss Minchin, then leaves her with Sarah. Sarah stands at the window.
Sarah, you understand, of course, that these rooms can no longer be yours. Come with me.
Miss Minchin leads Sarah to the door. Sarah picks up her doll, Emily, and leaves. The little girl follows Miss Minchin through the lavishly decorated hallway and up the attic stairs. The attic is dull, grey, and dirty. Miss Minchin leads Sarah past a door and takes her into her new room, a barely furnished space under the roof beams.
This is to be your room in the future. I shall have to sell your furnishings and your clothes to pay part of the debt your father owed. Ordinarily, you would go to a charitable institution, but I'm going to let you remain here. There will be duties for you to perform, of course. I hope you appreciate my kindness in not sending you away.
Sarah frowns at Miss Minchin.
I was unable to find a black dress among your things, so one of the girls has given you this. You better take off that party frock and put this on. I'll send up some shoes.
Miss Minchin puts the black dress on the bed and leaves Sarah alone with her doll. Sarah reluctantly unbuttons her beautiful party dress. Soon after, she stands in her dimly lit attic room, wearing the black dress and clutching Emily.
I don't believe it. I don't!
She looks out the attic window.
My daddy has to go away. But he'll return most any day. Any moment I may see my daddy coming back to me.
In the dining hall, the students mill about.
And Miss Minchin's gonna sell all her things.
It was beastly having to give back our presents.
How do you feel now about your little princess?
Sarah finds Becky on the staircase.
Oh, miss. Is there anything I can do?
No, Becky. Thank you.
Sarah leaves Becky and walks into the dining hall. The other girls stop gossiping to stare at her.
Sarah, I'm sorry.
Miss Minchin walks in.
Sarah, from now on you are not to sit with us. Return to your room and smooth down those curls. Then go to the kitchen. Run along now.
She turns to leave.
Girls, Lavinia, you may take your old place beside me.
Lavinia glances back at Sarah and takes her seat with pleasure. In the kitchen, two women prepare porridge while Becky makes toast. Sarah comes in.
Mrs. O'Connell?
Oh, so the missus has sent you down to me, has she?
Miss Minchin said I'm to have my breakfast here.
You'll do more than eat your breakfast if you work for that one.
I should be glad to help.
You will, eh?
Mrs. O'Connell sees Becky burning the toast.
Look at you. Look what you're doing. For that, you'll get no breakfast. Min, you better make some more toast for the missus.
Sure. Coming up.
Here's your breakfast. Take it over there. We don't associate with royalty.
Let me wait on you, miss.
No, you don't. She can wait on herself. You can sit there and watch her eat. Perhaps that'll teach you a lesson.
The two girls sit at a small kitchen table.
Please, Mrs. O'Connell, may I give my breakfast to Becky? I'm not hungry this morning.
Give it to the cat if you like, and get to work. Wash them dishes.
Sarah glances at the sink, then slides her bowl across the table.
No, miss, I don't want it.
Sarah rolls up her sleeves and heads for the sink full of dishes. Rose sneaks out of her classroom into the front hall. She passes Bertie.
The mail just came.
She anxiously flips through the letters.
Miss Rose?
Miss Minchin approaches.
I'll take the mail, if you please.
Rose hands over the mail and leaves. Miss Minchin stares after her suspiciously. Later, Miss Minchin reads a letter aloud.
My darling girl, I have been half mad trying to find a way out for you since your letter reached me. But it has come. My grandfather has relented. I pray heaven that this money and my love will help you bear what lies ahead. Geoffrey.
You say this girl's a teacher at your school?
She was, until I discharged her today. We're not likely to hear from her again.
And I was prepared to turn over a handsome sum to that boy when he got back. Even made an ass of myself and sent him a check.
Then I was right to withhold this. He made it over to her.
She hands Lord Wickham the check.
You're not very fond of the girl, are you?
Hardly, under the circumstances.
You're sure the girl has no legitimate claims on him?
I brought her up from a foundling. Is it likely she would not have consulted me if their love had been respectable?
Lord Wickham nods.
Ramdas!
Ramdas comes in.
Yes, sir.
In future, if any letters or cables come from Mr. Geoffrey, they're to be returned unopened.
As you wish, sir.
He bows and backs away. Sarah sits in her room, wrapped in a shawl, holding Emily.
Becky?
Becky pushes aside a loose wall board.
Come in, Becky.
She climbs through.
I'm glad you're warm to sleep, miss. It's one of them lonely nights.
Yes. I wonder where Miss Rose is. I shall miss her terribly.
We're all alone in the world now, aren't we, miss?
No. No, we're not alone. There's my father, you know.
Your father?
But cook says
he... You mustn't say that.
It isn't true. He's not dead. He's sick or wounded somewhere, or he'd send for me. But he's not dead.
How do you know, miss?
Something inside tells me so. And sometimes I hear him calling for me.
Oh, Lord, miss.
In the second floor hallway, Miss Minchin sees smoke pouring under a door. She opens the door and finds Bertie with his pipe.
You're smoking.
As you see, today, my good woman, the British Army is behind me.
That uniform. You're not going to war.
Quite. To the very cannon's mouth, if need be.
But why?
Because, old girl, I'm fed to the teeth with your bullying. And your treatment of Rose and little Sarah's the last straw. I prefer the less painful horrors of the battlefield.
Are you daring to criticize me?
Astonishing, isn't it? But it proves that I'm competent to lead my men into the very jaws of death.
After this, you may never expect help from me again.
I am quite calm. For if the bloodthirsty boar spares me, the footlights will see bubbling Bertie once again.
Hubert, you wouldn't do that to me.
Oh, wouldn't I? Well, ta-ta, old girl.
He swings his umbrella, smacking Miss Minchin's behind. Snow lines the window panes in Sarah's attic room. Sarah washes her hands and face in a bowl of water. She takes her winter shawl and sneaks out the window onto a roof ledge. Sarah hurries along the winter streets. She approaches a soldier with a cane.
Could you please, sir?
Yes, lassie.
Were you at the siege of Mafeking?
Aye. That's where I stopped the bullet that stopped me.
Then did you know my father?
Your father? What might his name be, lassie?
Captain Reginald Crewe.
Your father a captain?
Yes. They say he is dead, but I know it can't be. And I've asked so many soldiers about him, I hope you could tell me.
No, lassie. I'm sorry, I can't. Why don't you ask in the hospital there? Maybe they'll have some record of him.
Thank you, sir. I will.
Sarah runs up the hospital steps,
please,
where she finds another soldier.
Why, the little princess as I live.
It's Mr. Bertie.
In person.
But I thought you'd gone to war.
No. Lord Roberts wanted me to, of course. But he said, Bertie, old boy, the wounded need you. So you stay here and cheer up the brave lads who have fallen in our just cause. So I'm practically in command of this hospital.
Oh, Mr. Bertie, can my father be in there?
Your father, Princess?
Yes. You see, I know he isn't dead. And I've been looking and looking. He could be among the wounded, couldn't he?
Yes.
I'm almost sure he is, somewhere. If you're in charge, could I please look for him in there?
Well,
Please.
Yes, yes, of course you may. Things like that can happen, you know.
Bertie leads the little girl into the hospital. They pass several other soldiers inside.
Mr. Bertie, why don't they salute you if you're in command here?
Well, discipline in a hospital is rather,
lax.
Oh.
Oh, I say, Major. They're waiting for you in Ward B. There's a lot of trash up there.
Very good. I'll get one of my men to attend to it.
Get one of your what?
Well, two of my men then. Carry on.
As Bertie whisks Sarah away, the officer smiles and shakes his head. Upstairs.
Over here, sir.
Another officer approaches.
What's this tight doing here before visiting ours?
Well, you see, sir.
Well.
If you please, sir, the Major's helped me to find my father, sir.
The Major?
To her, sir. You see, we're old friends, sir. I knew her father, Captain Crewe, who's reported killed at Mafeking. The child's sure there's some mistake, so I'm helping her search among the wounded.
Could you tell me anything about my father, sir?
It's sorry, my dear, I can't. Carry on, Major.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sarah and Bertie enter a hospital ward. Many wounded men lie in bed. Bertie whispers to Sarah, then to a nurse.
This little girl's father's been killed, but she insists he's alive, so I'm letting her look around.
Sarah walks from bed to bed, searching for her father. She looks at Bertie and shakes her head.
We'll try another ward.
He takes her by the hand. In another ward, the men sit about, chatting.
There's old Bertie! Give us a song, lad!
Attention, men! Attention! Official inspection!
Sarah looks around the room.
He isn't here either. But someone might know about him.
She approaches a man in a wheelchair.
If you please, sir, were you at the Siege of Mafeking?
I was that, darling. It's where I picked up the bug. 'Twas no bigger than the seed of a thistledown that laid me low. Ah, the bugs down there are worse than their bullets.
Then perhaps you didn't know my father.
Faith, and I wouldn't have known my own father, with the fever that was on me.
Thank you, sir.
It's all right, darling.
She sees a young man making paper soldiers.
Hello.
If you please, sir, were you with the troops at Mafeking?
Yes, of course I was. That's where I ran away, you know.
Then did you know my father, Captain Crewe?
Yes, of course. That's a fine-looking officer, isn't he? He ought to do well.
But where did you see my father last? Where is he now?
Where's who?
My father.
Well, one soldier more or less doesn't make any difference, you know. I'm making thousands and thousands for England. See? Fine, strong fellows who won't be afraid as I was. I was afraid of the noise. That's why I ran away, you know.
She backs away as the man makes more paper soldiers.
He said he knows my father, but he won't tell.
He's living in a dream, Sarah. He doesn't know what he's saying. Come on, dear.
Don't go yet, lad. Give us a song.
Yes, give us a song, Bertie.
How about it, dear? Shall we sing them a song to cheer them up? Our old specialty, what?
Not today, Mr. Bertie.
Oh, come on, darling. Let's try and forget our own troubles and do something for these lads, shall we?
All right, I'll try.
Oh, you darling. What about the old Kent Road?
That's the one. Mackie will play for you. I'll be good at it, Mac.
As a soldier places accordion, Bertie and Sarah tap dance.
Every evening at the stroke of five, me and the missus takes a little ride. You sigh, oh, wonderful, they're still alive.
If you saw that little donkey go, start the blessed donkey stops. E won't move, so on I quickly ups. Pounds start a wagon and when down he drops. Someone says he wasn't mine to go. A wonderful tea, all can I prescribe. Ooh, you're gonna make Bill have your box straight, Bill. Long before I thought I did a die. But not to be the only kid around.
Bertie walks Sarah out of the hospital.
Mr. Bertie, will it be all right if I come again tomorrow?
I shouldn't run away too often, Princess. You might get punished, you know. I'll keep a sharp lookout whenever the wounded come in.
You don't really believe he'll ever come, do you?
Yes, of course I do. I've told you missing men often turn up.
Then I'd better come. You might not know him if you were very much changed.
All right, dear. You come.
Goodbye, Mr. Bertie.
Goodbye, dear.
Back at school.
Are you hungry?
Here.
Sarah feeds some birds at her window.
Poor little things. There won't be any worms for you this morning.
Ram Dass opens his window.
Good morning, little Mrs. Saab.
Good morning, Ram Dass.
Feeding your little friends?
Yes, but I couldn't save them very much for my supper last night.
Oh, it is difficult for them when the snow comes.
The parrot flies into Sarah's room.
Ranny! Ranny!
Oh, Ranny! Ranny?
Ranny!
You look as though you know you're being naughty and enjoying.
Ram Dass climbs through Sarah's window.
For shame!
Here she is on the bookshelves.
Bookshelves?
Oh, I forgot. I pretend they're bookshelves and filled with beautiful books.
Then I better remove her before she ruins your set of Dickens. Right?
He lifts the bird from the empty shelf.
This is your room, Missy Sam?
Yes. It's so little and so high above everything that it's almost like a nest in a tree. I can lie on my soft sofa and look up in the sky through that little window on the roof.
Sofa?
It looks more like a soft sofa when it's made up. And you imagine it has down quilts and lovely cushions to curl up on.
Ram Dass notices the empty fireplace.
There is a fire sometimes, of course.
Well, that is the hardest of all to imagine, especially at night. But it's lovely when you can. The grate shines so when it's polished and the nice bright coal scuttle on the hearth.
Becky runs in.
Oh, worry, miss. The cook wants you and she's in an awful stew. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me if I run. I've got to go to the butcher's. I'll get my ears boxed if I don't hurry.
Yes, Mrs. Sam.
Ram Dass looks around the dreary room. In the kitchen, dinner is being prepared.
Listen to this. Hospital ship Mercy arrives. 1,200 wounded disembarked.
Does it give any of the names?
There ain't no list.
Oh, I hope my poor heir is among them.
A wounded husband is better than no husband at all, eh, Min?
Sarah carries a bowl of potatoes to Becky.
Oh, Becky, I've got to get to the hospital before 9 o'clock when they close the visitors. Somehow I've got to.
Yes, miss.
Sarah drops the bowl.
You clumsy ox. For that, you whistle for your supper.
Oh, Mom, Shine had no lunch. You put things away before she got back from the grocer's.
Who do you think you're talking to? You'll both go hungry. Now, clean up this mess. Go on, get on with it.
The girls clean up. At the hospital...
Some sorry cases in this batch, Doctor.
Yes, poor devils.
Hello, Doctor.
Doctor, this man is an unknown. His papers were lost. Delirium following malarial fever.
We're very much concerned about him, sir.
Anemia, heart action weak, respiration low. All that's to be expected.
But his mind doesn't clear, sir. He has no lucid moments.
Temporary paralysis of some nerve center. Or a blood clot, possibly.
More likely to be the latter, sir.
He received a nasty head wound. Sir. He repeatedly calls for this person, Sarah.
You can't learn who this Sarah is?
No way of finding out, sir. Till his identity is established. Sir.
Sarah and Becky clean up the kitchen. A clock on the wall reads 8:10.
You better go now, miss. I'll finish up for you. Thank you, Becky. I'll have to fly.
Yes, miss.
Sarah runs for the door and hangs up her apron.
Here, hold your horses. Where do you think you're going? Miss Lavinia wants some coal for her fire. Up to it.
Mrs. O'Connell shoves her out the door. Upstairs, Sarah carries a bucket of coal.
Oh, Sarah, you look so tired, and you look hungry, too. Are you actually hungry, Sarah?
Yes, I am hungry. I'm so hungry I could eat you.
Sarah storms off. In Lavinia's bedroom, Sarah eyes a bowl of fresh fruit on the dresser. She dumps the coal into the fire while Lavinia reclines on a divan.
Put on plenty. My father pays for it.
Sarah tries to leave.
Just a moment. Our princess seems to be in a hurry. Could it be that she's going to a ball? Come back here and clean up that hearth.
Sarah looks to the door, but goes back to the fireplace to shovel up ashes.
I'd like my shawl, the pink one. It's on my bed.
She hands her the shawl.
Cover me, please. I find the room a bit chilly.
Sarah throws the shawl over Lavinia, then grabs her bucket and leaves. With her own black shawl wrapped around her, Sarah runs through the dark, crowded streets. traffic. Then hurries up the hospital steps.
Good night, sir.
The hospital is locked up just as Sarah reaches the door.
Hello, Princess. What are you doing out so late?
I've come to see the new soldiers and get here today.
Not tonight, my girl. It's closing time.
But I've got to. I ran away specially.
Now then, young'un, take it easy.
Please let me in. I'm sure he's here this time.
You're sure every time, Princess. I'm sorry. You run on home and come back tomorrow morning. That's a good little girl. All right, good night now.
The man bolts the door and turns off the outside lights. Sarah stands in the dark a moment, then slowly walks down the steps. At Captain Crewe's bedside...
He will recover from the effects of the fever, but I am convinced there is brain pressure.
You advise an operation, then?
Yes. You agree?
I do. Dr. McNeish in Edinburgh is the man.
Yes, splendid, splendid.
List this man for removal to Edinburgh in the morning.
Yes, Doctor.
Back at the school, Sarah sneaks up the attic stairs. Miss Minchin sees Sarah and follows her.
Sarah? Where have you been? Answer me. You've been out, haven't you?
Yes, Miss Minchin.
What do you mean by disobeying my orders?
I had to. I had to look for my father.
This ridiculous search for your father. All this making believe and refusing to face facts. It's indecent. I've had enough of it. You must realize once and for all that your father is dead.
Don't you say that. He's not dead. He's not! And you can't stop me from looking for him either.
How dare you speak to me in that manner, you impudent little...
Miss Minchin raises her hand to her. Sarah glares back, and Miss Minchin lowers her hand.
I'll attend to you further in the morning.
Sarah storms into her room.
I can't be a good soldier much longer. I'm cold, and I'm hungry, too. Do you hear?
She looks to Emily.
No, you don't hear. You don't hear, and you don't care. You're nothing but a doll. A doll! You never had a heart to make you feel. You're just a doll.
She throws the doll to the ground and falls on the bed, weeping. Ram Dass sees her through his window. He watches the little girl, concerned. Later that night, Sarah sleeps, her tattered blanket tucked tight under her chin. Moonlight pours through the window. Sarah dreams she's a fairy tale princess. Sitting on her throne, she wears a beautiful gown and a golden crown. An attendant presents her scepter on a silk pillow, while beautiful ladies in waiting tend to her long gown. Dressed as a jester, Bertie hops to Princess Sarah. He sits beside her throne. A joyful man waving a large staff leads a procession. Three dancers play lyres. Five portly chefs follow with platters full of food. Dance behind the chefs. The procession ends with three pages carrying a huge chocolate cake. The pages present the cake to the princess and bow. Then the cake bursts open and birds fly out. Trumpeters announce the entrance of an advisor, Ram Dass. He bows to Princess Sarah.
Your Highness, please forgive me, but something has gone amiss. There is an angry woman outside to report a stolen kiss.
Tell her she must go away. Come around some other day.
I have told her, but she won't. You must see her. If you don't, she'll scream her head off.
Tell her to hush.
She won't be hushed.
Then tell her to shush.
I am afraid she won't be shushed.
A witch comes in. Miss Minchin.
I won't be shushed. I won't be hushed. I know my rights. I know the law. And I know also what I saw.
What did you see?
I saw him.
You saw who? I mean whom?
I saw that lad steal a kiss from that shameless little miss.
It's Rose and Geoffrey.
Don't be fooled by all their shyness. They're a wicked pair, your highness. There's a law, I understand, against kissing in this land.
There is a law that reads like this. No one is to steal a kiss.
Ah, but princess, I've a feeling this is not a case of stealing.
Silence, fool! I know the law. What I say, I saw, I saw. What I saw...
His honor, he saw. I saw, you saw, he saw, she saw.
Honor, he saw. I saw, you saw, he saw, she saw.
What she tells us may be true. And if it is, what can we do?
If you ask me, we should listen to the lad who did the kissing.
I object would not be wise. He would only tell you lies.
Let him speak. Come, lad, this way. Now then, what have you to say?
Please, your highness, I confess, when I saw such loveliness, it was too much to resist. I just thought she should be kissed. So I kissed her twice. It was very, very nice.
So he kissed her twice. It was very, very nice.
There, you see, he broke the law. What I say, I saw, I saw.
Please don't start all that again.
But he stole a kiss, that's plain.
Yes, it looks as if it's true. And I'll have to punish you.
No, please. Let me say a word. It is not the way you heard. Please, he did not steal the kiss. I gave it to him, just like this.
Rose kisses Geoffrey.
There, you see, I had a feeling this was not a case of stealing.
I'm not sure. It's not quite plain. Could I see that kiss again?
They smile and kiss once more.
You were right. I have a feeling this was not a case of stealing.
Right. The law has been abused. This lad has falsely been accused.
He is hers and she is his'n. That old witch should go to prison.
You're a very wicked woman.
Princess, I am only human.
Listen to the old grandmommy. You're a nasty peeping Tommy.
Banish her from here forever. Never show your face here, never.
Banish her from here forever. Never show your face here, never.
What I say, I saw, I saw. I know my rights, I know the law.
Two guards throw her out.
Come and sit beside me here. Your kiss has made things very clear.
Thank you, princess.
Don't thank me. 'Twas that kiss that set you free.
Geoffrey and Rose bow, then sit beside the throne.
Now we are through with this arraignment. Let us have some entertainment.
Bring the dancers, bring the singers,
bring the good old working ringers.
More than a dozen ballerinas dance into the hall. Wearing long white gowns and silver bows in their hair, the dancers perform for the court. The dancers huddle into a circle. When they open up the circle, Sarah is in the middle, dressed like the others. Dances with them.
The new ballerina, she pleases you?
She's a very good dancer. She looks familiar too.
Thank you.
Ram Dass taps on the window over Sarah's bed. Sarah sleeps under a new quilt.
Nice dream. I feel quite warm. I don't want to wake up.
Her eyes still closed. Sarah feels the costly quilt. She sits up, looks around the room, and rubs her eyes.
I haven't waked up.
Sarah's mouth falls open when she sees her doll sitting in a new armchair. Her washing table has been recovered, and books sit on the shelf. Fabrics hang on the wall, and a breakfast table is set beside a roaring fire.
Must be dreaming.
She jumps out of bed onto a plush fur rug.
I am dreaming.
She finds a robe and slippers at the foot of her bed.
I must be dreaming.
She runs to the fire.
But it feels warm. Becky! Becky! Come
Ram Dass
Becky,
smiles through Becky. The window and then withdraws.
Yes, miss. Oh, Becky! Look! Oh, Lord, miss. Do you see what I do? I don't know what you see, but I don't think I believe what I'm seeing. Well, I never. Do you feel that? Yes, miss. Then what do you see? I sees a fire, miss. And a table with food on it, and a rug, and a lamp, and slippers. I do indeed, miss. How did it all get here? Did you pretend it into happening? I don't know. I never pretended as good as this before. Look at these.
Ram Dass leads Lord Wickham to his window.
If the little Mrs. Saab knew, she would be over here to thank you.
I don't want her to know. Who wants any thanks?
The old man grins.
Oh, miss, you're beautiful.
Thank you, Becky. Now let's try this one on you.
The girls try on lavish robes.
Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, yes, miss.
It's perfect. And real fitting, too. Mm-hmm. Let's try the slippers and see if they're real.
They step into the slippers.
Do they feel like slippers to you?
They feel soft and warm.
This feels soft and warm, too. They're as real as we are. I don't believe it's a dream after all.
Becky licks her lips.
Do you suppose the food is real, miss? Let's see.
The girls run to the breakfast table.
I can smell kippers, can you?
Kippers is all I live.
I wonder what this is. Muffins! This tastes like a muffin. Is it one?
Becky takes a big bite.
The muffin I've ever wore. It must be the matching, miss. And we better be quick before it melts away. Yeah.
They dig in. In the hospital, at Captain Crewe's bedside.
What sort of a night did he pass?
He rested comfortably, Doctor.
Will we be able to send him with the others?
Oh, yes, he'll stand the journey all right.
Get him ready to be sent with Group D. They'll be leaving in about an hour.
Very well, Doctor.
Back at the school, Sarah brings a bucket into Lavinia's room. Lavinia and Jessie sit on the divan. They watch while Sarah shovels the fireplace ashes into the bucket.
I hear you're being punished. Do you think we ought to offer her a chocolate?
You might let her smell them.
Miss Midgen surely couldn't object to that. Would you care to?
I don't want to smell them and I don't want to eat them, thank you.
You don't? Why not?
I've had much nicer things than chocolates this morning.
Listen to the princess pretending again.
I'm not pretending. I had the most wonderful things to eat that anyone ever had.
Why, you little liar. You haven't even had breakfast.
Pardon me, but I really have. And if you'll excuse me for saying so, it isn't polite to call people liars.
How dare you talk back to me?
Was I doing that? My goodness!
Sarah dumps the bucket onto the girls.
Oh, sorry!
Sarah runs out.
You wait till I dump this mention on you!
Sarah goes back to her room.
Well, Annie's still here, Becky?
Yes, miss.
Thank heaven it stopped raining.
Are you going someplace, miss?
To the hospital. Oh, Becky, perhaps everything is going to change for us. Perhaps I'll find my father this time and he'll take us away from here.
Oh, Lord. It's the missus.
Miss Minchin bursts in.
Sarah, how dare you? What?
Why, what's happened to this room?
That's what we would like to know. When I woke up this morning, here everything was, even to the food and the fire.
Where did you get these things?
I don't know. This is because I dreamed such a beautiful dream last night that it came true.
But these articles are rare and costly. You stole them, didn't you?
Oh, no, Miss Minchin. We didn't take these things.
I'll give you one more chance to tell me the truth.
Well, I am telling you the truth. They just came.
They did indeed, Mum.
You go to your room. This is a matter for the police.
Oh, please, Miss Minchin. Please don't call the police.
Of course I'll call them.
Oh, Miss Minchin.
Miss Minchin locks Sarah in her room. And Becky in hers. Becky crawls through the hole in the wall.
We're prisoners now, sure enough, miss. And the police coming, too.
I can't be arrested. Those new wounded men are at the hospital, and I've got to get there.
I don't see how you can, miss. And us locked in. Come on, Becky, quick. Where are we going, miss? Follow me.
Sarah leads Becky out the window.
Oh, I'm not frightened, miss. I'm frightened, too, this time, Becky. Come on, give me your hand. Out.
The girls walk along the roof ledge to Lord Wickham's house.
Oh, Lord, miss.
Don't be afraid, Becky.
They reach Ramdas's window.
Ah, what game is this, little Missy Sound?
May we please go through your house? We're running away from the police.
And a very nice game, too. Will you enter?
We'd like to very much indeed.
He lifts the girls off the ledge and into the house.
You seem in great haste, Mrs. Sarr. Could you not stop for a cup of tea?
Oh, thank you. We're in too big a hurry.
I see. Still playing the game of the police.
They run out the front door.
I hope you escaped them safely, Mrs. Sarr.
Oh, why? Oh, Lord, miss. Please.
There they are. Stop them.
Oh, Becky, run, run.
The policeman chases the girls. Becky falls and is caught by the policeman.
Go after the other one. I'll take care of her. Come here to me.
Watch out, Becky. Don't slip. Becky, where are you?
Sarah runs back to get Becky, but sees the policeman coming and rushes on. The policeman slides on the wet pavement. Sarah runs into the busy street and hides behind a loaded cart as it moves through the traffic. Outside the school.
Wretched little thief, you'll go to jail for this, both of you.
You'll never catch her. Mr. Birdie, you'll see to that.
So that's where she's gone.
Oh, did you find them, Mum?
Take this little thief and don't let her out of your sight until I return.
The policeman comes back.
Did you catch her?
She got away in the traffic, Mum. I couldn't find her anywhere. Do you know where she'd like to be?
I do. Cabby?
Oh.
A horse and carriage stops in the street. Miss Minchin and the policeman get in.
Harvard Hospital and hurry, please.
At the hospital, two nurses help Sarah. Captain Crewe into a wheelchair.
Sarah.
He never stops calling for her.
Sarah sneaks out of an alley and looks around. Then she continues running along the busy sidewalk. A crowd of people waits outside the hospital gates. She runs past a Bobby.
Step aside a little bit, will you?
Thank
you. Ah! You can't go in there. No visitors allowed for an hour.
But that might be too late.
Now run along, little girl, will you? There's a good little girl.
Two ladies and a gentleman approach the bobby.
I'm sorry, sir. No visitors allowed for an hour.
But we must go in.
Sorry, sir. You can stand over there, if that's all right.
With the bobby distracted, Sarah sneaks past him and runs up the steps to the front door. Inside the hospital, two soldiers guard the main stairs.
Captain Morris.
I believe he just went through the hall, nurse. You're sorry, young'un, you can't go upstairs now.
I've got you. I've got to see if my father's here before Miss Minchin catches me.
Now run along now. Do as you're told.
Sarah runs up the stairs.
Yeah, I say now, come back here. You can't go up there. You know, you'll be in trouble. Hey, come back.
The soldier chases her into a wall.
You can't come in there. You can't come in here. Come on.
Let me go. Let me go. I will slip in here. I will. I will.
Order it.
An entourage flanks a plump, elderly woman in a wheelchair.
What is it the child wants?
Oh, please. Please don't let him take me away.
What is it, child?
My father. They said he was killed at Mafeking, but I don't believe it. He may be here with the new wounded men. They won't let me look. And if they don't, perhaps I'll never have another chance. Can't you make them let me look?
Colonel, Will you please see that this child is escorted through the wards?
With permission, I shall accompany her personally, Your Majesty.
Sarah is stunned.
What is your name?
Victoria, what is yours?
Sarah. Oh, Your Majesty!
Sarah kneels to kiss the Queen's hand.
Colonel, I hope you will find your father, my dear. A thorough search, Colonel.
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty.
Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye.
The Colonel puts his arm around Sarah and escorts her on her search.
Have you been through any of the wards yet?
As Sarah and the Colonel walk down the hallway...
I think we'd better cover this wing first.
Captain Crewe is wheeled from his room behind them. Sarah and the Colonel walk into a ward. Privacy screens enclose the beds.
We're searching for a patient.
Yes, sir.
Go right along, dear.
Sarah begins her search. Geoffrey lies in a bed with a broken arm.
All right.
Thank you, darling.
Rose sits by his side. Sarah peeks around the screen.
Miss Rose!
Sarah, darling!
Sarah!
Oh, Mr. Geoffrey, you're home. You're back again. Now you can tell me where my daddy is.
Well, Geoffrey didn't get as far as Mafeking, dear.
Then you don't know? You didn't even see him?
No, dear. I didn't. I'm sorry.
The Colonel approaches.
You found him?
Oh, no, sir. This is my friend, Mr. Geoffrey, and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Hambleton.
Well, how do you do?
I'm afraid I can't introduce you because I don't know your name.
Colonel Gordon.
This is Colonel Gordon. He's helped me to search the hospital.
Don't bother.
How do you do, sir?
I'm very happy to know you both. From Mafeking?
No, sir. An army mule. And a British mule at that.
That's adding insult to injury.
Sorry, sir. It's time for the patient's drops.
Oh, I'd rather face that mule.
I'll come back later, Miss Rose. Just as soon as I've gone through the other wards.
I'll wait for you, dear.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
sir. Be sure to come back, Sarah.
I will.
Sarah and the Colonel continue their search.
Poor little thing. She'll never stop hoping.
Outside.
I insist that you send for my brother.
Very well, Mum, but you can't get in, brother or no brother.
We will get in. My brother will see to that.
I hope you're right, Mum.
In the hospital's main entranceway, two soldiers on stretchers are carried out to the waiting transport. Captain Crewe sits in his wheelchair, waiting his turn.
All filled now. This man will have to wait for the next ambulance.
All right.
I think you'd better take him into the waiting room. These halls are much too drafty.
I think I'd better.
An attendant wheels Captain Crewe into the waiting room, just as Sarah and the Colonel walk into the entranceway.
I'm very sorry you couldn't find your father.
Thank you, just the same, sir.
He may be on the next convoy of wounded. I wouldn't give up hope.
I won't, sir.
Goodbye, God bless.
Bye.
Sarah heads for the main doors.
I know that they were stolen.
Sarah runs into the waiting room.
I have proven I intend to turn her over to the authorities. She's in this hospital and I intend to find her.
Now look here, you...
Sarah stands just inside the waiting room, her ear to the door. Her father sits in the wheelchair, turned away from her. Sarah carefully opens the door and begins to sneak out.
Sarah...
Sarah looks back into the room.
Sarah.
She hurries to the wheelchair.
Daddy?
Sarah.
Daddy!
Sarah hugs Daddy. And kisses her father, but he doesn't respond.
I found you. They said you were dead, but I knew you weren't. I knew you'd come back. Oh, Daddy, hold me close. You won't ever go away again, will you? Will you, Daddy?
She looks at her father's blank expression.
What's the matter, Daddy? Why don't you talk to me?
Sarah.
Don't you know me, Daddy? I'm Sarah.
Sarah, where is my daughter?
Oh, Daddy, something's happened to you. Mr. Birdie!
Oh,
she Daddy. Cries on his shoulder.
You mustn't cry. You mustn't cry. We must be good soldiers, you know.
But I have been a good soldier, Daddy. And you don't know me.
My little Sarah never cries.
But I'm Sarah. I'm Sarah.
He turns to Sarah and blinks. He recognizes her.
Yes. Yes. Sarah. Sarah! My baby.
Oh, Daddy. Oh, my darling.
Sarah, my darling.
You know me.
My baby, Sarah. Sarah.
Oh,
Sarah.
In the hallway.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Amanda.
Then how do you account for those silk coverlets, those robes, and other things that are there?
Perhaps a little bird brought them in. Perhaps they grew legs and walked in. I don't know. All I do know is that little Sarah wouldn't steal.
Bertie.
Yes?
Bertie, what do you think has happened? The little princess has found her father.
She's found him.
Captain Crewe is alive?
Of course he's alive. How could she find him if he wasn't alive?
Sarah and two attendants wheel Captain Crewe down the hall.
Oh, Mr. Bertie, I found my father.
Darling, I'm so glad.
Bertie stands at attention.
Your Majesty.
Sarah and the attendants help Captain Crewe to his feet. Sarah salutes. As the Queen passes, she smiles and nods at Sarah, who holds her father's arm.
Thank you.
Sarah beams with joy. The End. Released through 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. This described version of The Little Princess was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by Dorothy Parr, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast. Sarah Crewe, Shirley Temple. Geoffrey Hamilton, Richard Green. Rose, Anita Louise. Captain Crewe, Ian Hunter. Ram Dass, Cesar Romero. Bertie Minchin, Arthur Treacher. Amanda Minchin, Mary Nash. Becky, Sybil Jason. Lord Wickham, Miles Mander. Lavinia, Marcia May Jones. Queen, Beryl Mercer. Jessie, Deirdre Gale. Ermengarde, Ira Stevens. Mr. Barrows, E.E. Clive. Cook, Eileen Mallion. Attendant, Clyde Cook. Bobby, Keith Kenneth. Grooms, Will Stanton, Harry Allen. Doctors, Holmes Herbert, Evan Thomas, Guy Bellis. General, Kenneth Hunter. Colonel, Lionel Braham.